Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
Let's talk about Caleb Williams' performance this past Sunday against the Steelers with an expert. Yeah, it is Tim Jenkins. You heard the opening. Now joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Tim Jenkins, CircaLasVegas.com. What's going on, Tim?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing well. Give us your opening comments and your general thoughts on how well Caleb Williams played this past Sunday against the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't think it was his best game, right? I don't think it was one of those where you sit there and you go, man, we hit everything. I think it was one of his better games from a progression and a read and playing within the structure of our offense. And then I think he sprayed a couple, right? I think he missed a couple of dig routes, which obviously you want back. But simultaneously, man, I think we beat a good football team. And it's funny because we had joked about, I think 2 weeks ago I'd come on, we had kind of joked about, okay, hey, we're going to start to find out with this Steelers game. Right, and then you feel like you started to find out, but then again, Aaron Rodgers isn't under center. So now you got that knock, and it just feels like we consistently have this where, you know, we're, our strength of schedule hasn't been great, and then when we finally get to it, it's like there's other things people can point to. At the end of the day, I guess all you say is we're 8-3. We appear to be a lot longer, a lot further progressed in the Ben Johnson system than I even thought we would be at this point. And both of those are things I think to be highly optimistic about.
That's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Tim, because Ben Johnson to me has been such a breath of fresh air, a revelation. He is everything, in my opinion, that we were promised when this hire was made. What is your evaluation of what you've seen from him as a head coach in what he's done here compared to, say, what he did maybe early in Detroit? I mean, it seems like this Bears offense is much further along, faster than I thought it would be, even if Caleb Williams isn't out here, you know, breaking the glass ceiling.
I think he's more, if I'm being honest with you guys. I think he's more than what we were promised. The reason I say that is because I expected us to kind of come in and be highly, I guess, like tactical would be the word. I thought we would be one of the better schematically coached teams in the NFL, which we are. You know, it's funny. I broke down Shadur and I broke down J.J. McCarthy this week as well. And it's like kind of a good refresher on what could be going on from a scheme standpoint and just like setting a quarterback up. You know, and I think KOC does a good job in Minnesota, but I do think they're limited by what JJ can do physically, right? I think it's sometimes good to watch other guys because then you're reminded of how just talented Caleb is. With that being said, the reason I think he's been more than what we were promised is because to me, I thought, okay, hey, we're going to be more, you know, we're going to be schematically sound. We're going to be all these other things, which is a huge upgrade from what the Bears have been in the past offensively. But I think he's more of a Sean McVay type, like truly managing the game, instilling competitive grit in the ball club, where this team is substantially tougher at all positions, not just offensively, than we've been in the past. And I think that's got to be a direct correlation to not only Ben and what he brings from a leadership standpoint, but the staff that he surrounded himself with.
Yeah, and I think the best way to summarize this conversation is it's working. It's working. You know, maybe not at the pace some people want. We've talked about that, the good and the bad, game to game and all that. But on the overall, what Ben Johnson, his part is working. And Tim, I want to dig a little bit deeper on Caleb's specific performance against the Steelers, because you said correctly, I agree with you, it wasn't his best performance. And we could zero in on and break down the strip sack if we would like. We all know that that was like just a really horrible play. But why in general, moreover, you talked about the dig routes and you had overthrows in this game. Is that where he gets the points taken off in this game? Are we still at accuracy with Caleb Williams, or is there more to it in your breakdown?
Yeah, I think it was just misses. Like the strip sack, yeah, it's horrific, right? Mm-hmm. That's like a terrible decision. You could throw me under center if you wanted that, right? With that being said, I think a lot of that is just Caleb, and I talked about it on the breakdown, Caleb has to start to understand better, hey, when are scramble situations, and then also he's got to be able to realize, like, personnel differences. It's hard to run away from 90 on the Steelers, right? People have been trying to do that for a long time. Like, I'm all in on Caleb feeling like he's Superman and running away from anybody, and I like that in a quarterback, especially as gifted as Caleb is. But at some point, we've got to go, man, you know, I might be Goliath, but that dude might be David, right? Like, we got to, you know, maybe realize, okay, hey, this isn't the guy to try to run away from. So that situationally is the issue. The two digs, and the reason I'm really disappointed in them is because they were layup digs. They weren't like, hey, man, I got to drive this thing in between three defenders. They were layups. They were wide open dagger concepts, and he just missed them. It's funny then when you pair it with the fact that the Rome bender, and I know it kind of looked wide open, mm-hmm. but it looked wide open because he did a great job moving people with his eyes and then delivering an absolute missile. It's funny when you pair some of these things, because you're sitting there and you're going, okay, I've got one play where Caleb does elite level eye manipulation, you know, where he's moving guys and then getting to somebody else with a big time throw in a tight window. And then we just get on our front knee and sail a dig route, which is a wide open layup that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hit in my barn 2 days from now when I'm in the Turkey Bowl against a bunch of 9-year-olds. Right. So you sit there and you go, man, it's an interesting one with Caleb, because there are the highs, there are the lows, and the lows just showed up on two dig routes. With all that being said, I'm still really pleased with where he's at from you know, working through these progressions, but also where he's at in terms of hanging on these concepts. We've talked about that. Hey, we need to hang a little bit longer on this concept. It's a great look for us. He's doing that. So to me, we're trending in the right direction where, you know, we've got Philadelphia coming up. We've got some of these tougher teams, and I'm starting to really feel positive on those games versus maybe where we were at 4 weeks ago when I'm saying, hey, I think they got a shot to make the playoffs, but we got to survive this stretch. Now, to me, it's more like we might be in a position where Caleb's going to attack with the football, hunt with the football enough that we have a chance to really jump out on some of these teams. And then if we can get some of these other offenses to be one-dimensional, I think our defense has a better chance.
Joined by Tim Jenkins here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. He's the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. You can watch Tim's full Caleb Williams breakdown on his YouTube channel. That's at All Things QB. And Tim, I'm going to take a look at that later on today. I'm really curious as we go forward now, because you're talking about the missed layups. We all played with that one kid in elementary school who could not hit a layup to save their life, but they could maybe throw it up from half court and make a shine. Like, how can the kid make it from half court, but he can't hit a layup? Does that fear exist where you think he's never going to be able to do the pedestrian at the level that Ben Johnson requires for his offense to really hum?
Yeah, for me, no. And the reason I say that is because it's almost like, and this is going to be interesting because I do think Ben's going to be great for his development as a whole. But to me, when I evaluate Caleb, like if you were to give him to me for the offseason, what you're sitting there is it's almost like I just got to get you to kind of forget everything, like play with a clear mind, because it's funny. When he's climbing the pocket or he's navigating or he's doing something with his eyes, it's almost like he just lets his body operate and he rips dimes, right? And then it's almost, hey, I'm locked on this concept. This is my first progression. The pocket's clean, and then I sail it. It's almost like he is like it's almost like he shifts to his throwing motion too much, or he's, you know, it's too clean where we just need him to cut it loose. It's a fascinating one because honestly, I can't remember the last time I've ever evaluated a guy where this was the hang up, right? It, you know, normally when you're looking at guys, you're like, oh man, we had to navigate the pocket. That's why we sailed it. Or we had this, that's why we had an issue. You know, you turn on Detroit film, right? Jared Goff, you know, hey, if you put his body in too bad of a position, he's going to struggle. Caleb, it's almost like, let's put him in a terrible position. He'll overcome it, right? So right. To me, it's an interesting one. It's almost like he needs to spend enough. It's almost like his whole life has been fun off seasons of people throwing beanbags at him or throwing BOSU balls at him. Hey, you know, navigate the pocket, rip a dime. And it's almost like he needs to have just like a Peyton Manning-like off season. Hey, inside zone 7 hitch, throw the dig. Okay, do that 400 more times, right? Like, that's really the offseason he needs, in my opinion. Of course, you continue to sprinkle in the movement and all the cool stuff that he can do, and because you got to keep that, you know, you got to keep that trait there, right? That's what makes him so special. But to me, it's like he just needs one of those old school offseasons of, hey, man, let's just drive stuff from the pocket on time with our feet. Plus, I think that will make him substantially more efficient through his progressions, and as we try to get him to be more of an 80-20, 85-15 playing through the concept versus scrambling. So that to me, that's where it's like I'm still really confident in his ability to do that, because if you can do all the special stuff, you should be able to do the other stuff. And I just think it's more of like a block training perspective, more of a volume thing than anything. I would be willing to bet that the kid has less volume throwing off of true five and a hitch over the lifetime of his career as he does doing driving range quarterback training, like I always joke about, right? There are guys that train quarterbacks, and there are guys that train driving range quarterbacks, where, sure, man, it looks great in shorts and a T-shirt, but, you know, can we execute within the game? And that's he just needs more of the old school, hey, man, just throw this on time.
Yeah.
Let's get a ton of reps at it. And I think he'll come into training camp looking completely different next year.
I want to ask you about one more concern. And there really were some good things that Caleb Williams did in this game that we can definitely get to. But there's one more concern that persists with me with Caleb Williams. And we saw it again on the first drive of the game for the Bears. And that was a three and out. Ball deflected on third and six. We've seen a lot of that from Caleb. We know what the Eagles' defense is. There's a game against Detroit where Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis combined for five batted passes. So this is what I'm thinking about heading in this game against the Eagles. What is that a product of, and how can he make that part of his game better?
Yeah, well, I think if you're looking at it from just a quarterback lens, it's a product of your arm slot, right? Caleb will at times drop his arm slot. Now, there's a big debate going on. Hey, does having a lower arm slot make you more rotational, which then adds velocity and adds accuracy, or do we need to go back to maybe a higher arm slot to avoid those? That's like a 45-minute TED talk, right? Like that no one really wants to listen to. But part of it's his arm slot. So that's what Caleb can control. Then the other piece is what can the O-line do and what can we do schematically? To me, you got to hit him with screen. You got to hit him with draw, which is going to then make it to where their rush isn't as consistent, so they're not timing up on jumps. And then, unfortunately, like you hate saying this because you know as a in the National Football League, part of you kind of have respect for the other side, and hey, they're professionals too. You don't want to take away their livelihood. Simultaneously, if you're going to jump, we got to cut you, right? We're going to have to end up cutting these guys and doing different stuff, which sucks. But if they're going to jump, we have to cut, and then we got to kind of set up, maybe bluff a couple cuts, bring some guys in from outside, Wham them a little bit. Like, that's really what you're going to have to do schematically. You know, obviously I'm not saying anything Ben doesn't know, and they're going to probably go into the game and they're going to have some of that stuff dialed up early to where, listen, all it takes is you cutting them one time for a pro guy to stop jumping, right? He's going to jump the next week. This week, he's going to protect his knees. And that's kind of, unfortunately, the nature of the beast. But, like, listen, they do the same thing to us, you know, when we're running screen. And so there's just all sorts of stuff. So to me, that's probably the answer from a schematic standpoint. From a quarterback side of it, you got to stop dropping your arm angle. Anytime you start to lower that arm angle, it's, of course, going to bring those defenders into it. And that's something that Caleb, you know, you drop your arm angle at times to get into, you know, get into certain windows. Other times it's just lazy, and we got to stay on top of it.
Tim Jenkins joining us as he does every week to talk quarterbacks and offense here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. Tim, I got to ask you, because I've been parsing through this really over the course of the season, but now it's getting a little tighter because they are going to be facing these top-level defenses in the upcoming weeks. Packers twice, we know about Detroit, and of course the Steelers just this past week. 31 points against Pittsburgh, but you get the feeling that there's a lot of meat being left on the bone, and I'm wondering, when we see Ben Johnson's offense, how much more can they do as the defenses get better and better, and how much meat is being left on the bone with this offense?
Yeah, it's crazy that we're getting on here and it's like we scored 31 and we're kind of like, man, we could have done more, right? That's what I think is so special about when you truly have someone who's at the top of their game calling and designing plays. Like, it is what it is. We got to dagger like four different ways and it was wide open every time. He is dialed in what he's doing. His sequencing is great from a call standpoint. His design is great. He doesn't throw in like, hey, here's three game plan calls that we think are going to be open. I guarantee they're putting in 35 game plan calls, right? That's just what they are right now. And the fact that the guys are processing it and executing it is another huge compliment to him and his staff. So to me, it's interesting for me to say this, but this is the truth. I don't think the defense that you put in front of the Bears matters. Like, I know that that's crazy to say. I just don't feel like that's truly the worry. I think the worry is the team as a whole you put in front of the Bears, and are they able to lean on our defense so much that it puts our offense in a one-dimensional perspective? Because part of the reason we're so successful is because we do have such a good run game. We have some gadget plays that we're able to get into run action, play action, which, as you guys know, is only effective as long as the ball game is a ball game and we're not in, you know, chase situation, right? We start getting into, hey, we're chasing you, we're going to be in trouble, right? Play action, run action ain't going to hit the same, and then we're going to, you know, some of these concepts aren't going to work. So to me, it's almost like I'm not that worried about any of these top defenses we have coming up. As long as the game stays within a traditional game flow, we're going to be fine on offense. To me, it's more, can our defense early on in games stand up to some of these better offenses to where we do stay in a regular game flow versus falling behind?
No doubt. No doubt. As we continue to talk to Tim Jenkins here on Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score, I do want to ask you about some of the good from the Steelers game. And I guess specifically the one that I'm looking at right now is the DJ Moore 24-yard touchdown pass after DJ Moore had the taunting penalty. Was that his best throw of the day? Or what did you think were some of his best throws of the day for Caleb?
Yeah, I mean, you love the seam, right? That was great. And you kind of, I mean, I do love DJ rifling into the stands. I mean, that was kind of an exciting play. But what I will say is my favorite play was the mag route. Mag route is kind of, you got to think of it, it's not a true in route, right? It's not like, hey, that's square in. But it's not a post, right? So we needed a word for the in-between, and we came up with mag.
Nice.
Now, do I have any idea why? No, I don't. Schottenheimer just told me that.
Okay.
Bradford echoed it, and then I basically was trying to survive. So now it's a mag route in our offense too. But what I will tell you is he has this one where he's under center, it's zone action, he sticks his foot in the ground, and he just rips a missile. That one was special.
Was that to Rome? On the 11-play 70-yard drive, yeah.
Yep. And it was awesome. And then there was one later where he hits DJ Moore on like a 20, 25-yard read route.
Yeah.
And it's one that I highlighted in the breakdown, and I highlighted it from the standpoint of we take for granted how far some of these throws are that he just puts on an absolute line that it's just like from his chin to the receiver's chest, it's special stuff. So that read route was great too. And it's great when you can sit there in a – more of a four-minute situation and call a true run-action pass and have confidence in your quarterback to like, hey, man, we're going to throw a 30-yard read route. Like, that's insane. But those were two that were really special. He played really great off of what we kind of call like a five plant with run action, where it's, hey, it's run action, but you stick your foot in the ground, and instead of taking a hitch, you're just putting the ball on them. Like Brady and the Patriots used to do that a bunch with some of the trap action and stuff, and they'd hit Gronk. We're just substituting, you know, real dig routes from our receivers and or Loveland, which I think he's going to be long-term a really key piece in this run, whatever the Bears do over the next few years, because that threat of being able to do run action with a big body guy running down the middle, that's going to be special. They're just going to probably have to ease the amount of stuff that goes onto his plate, right? He's not going to start out with everything that you're going to see on Thursday at your Thanksgiving. He's not starting out with everything, right? Right now we just got turkey and mashed potatoes on his plate, but it's going to get special long-term for him. So that's where I just think this offense can go, and that's what Caleb did a really good job of this week with some of those run action, play action passes where he's hitting his foot in the ground, letting it rip.
Tim, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for coming on The Score like you do, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Tim.
Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. I appreciate you.
Yep, thank you. We appreciate you too, man. Learn a lot here. And again, that was Tim Jenkins, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. I learned a lot there. It gave me some things to think about, including, and we're going to do it right now, but just quickly, the fact that he is farther ahead than he thought he would be with Ben Johnson and what he is trying to do. And then I love the part about you got to know your personnel. You got to
KYP, baby.
KYP, Stacey King, absolute shout out right there. We got something really cool coming up here in a second. But first of all, let me tell you about something really cool coming up this Friday at the Wall. Gurney Mills Mall, located at 6144 West Grand Avenue. Olin Kreutz, James Big Cat Williams, and I will host our pregame show there from 11 to 2. That's 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Philadelphia the day after Thanksgiving. Catch the game on the biggest of screens while enjoying the MVP comforts of a Marcus Theater. I love the Marcus Theaters. There will be drink specials as well. It's all happening at the Wall in Gurney Mills Mall starting at 11 a.m. this Friday. Marshall and I did the schedule exercise together that, excuse me, we all do when the NFL schedules came out. I was doing an evening show. Marshall was kind enough to come out. Adam Studzinski did picks as well. We all did it. We all kicked it around. And Marshall and I are heavily trending incorrect on our picks.
But Studs is out here.
Oh, did Studs do better than us?
He picked like a 10-7 or 11-6 or not even 12-5.
Cheers to everybody who did that. We did not. Sorry, not sorry. I don't feel bad about my pick at all.
Pleasantly surprised.
But we got six games to go, so Marshall and I are going to try to totally redeem ourselves and see if we can't pick these final six games, which will include the Bears and Eagles. So we're giving it. I mean, it's a weird week, man. So we're giving away our Bears Eagles picks.
I'm not giving a score, though. I'm just going to tell you who's going to win.
It's tough not knowing the injury report, too. So this is a risky exercise and enterprise about which we are going to take on here momentarily. As a matter of fact, we're going to do that next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I could do Stephen A's job, guys. It's not that hard.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party! All are invited!
Host of Fox Sports 1's First Things First.
How seriously should everyone take the Bears?
Very seriously. They're going to the playoffs. They're 8-3. They're playing for the 2 seed on Black Friday against the champs. Are they a great team? No. Are they good in this parlance of how we talk about the NFL? Absolutely. What more do you want?
Former host of 670 The Score before he abandoned us.
That's a Caleb Williams custom, baby.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
Andrew Filipponi is at the Pony with an I Express on X. Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
Danny is such a fraud.
I love it.
Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
Wait.
We know that.
Defense is really good and getting better. Like I don't think the Bears are putting up 35 in this game, but Philly, you know, we've seen them play some low scoring games. And do I think this is a great spot for the Bears with Phily coming off of a loss? No.
Like, Stop right there. Why is that, Danny? Why is it not a great spot with them coming off of a loss? Because I've been saying this for a week straight. Just make sure they don't lose to the Cowboys and the Bears have a great shot.
Listen, I think the idea of trap game and like overlooking a team is often an overstated thing, but that's a really embarrassing loss for Philly, who are the defending champs. And I would imagine whatever the best version of them is what you're going to get on national TV on Black Friday on a short week. But like Saquon Barkley came out and said he's not playing well right now. Their offensive line has not been as good as last year. Their quarterback and receiver, like the receiver cannot stop taking shots at the quarterback. The entire city hates the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's they're gettable. They're gettable. Like who's the second best? If the Rams are the best team in the NFL, who's the second best team in the NFL?
I think it's Seattle? The Seahawks. Yeah, I think it's the Seahawks.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have Sam Darnold as their quarterback. There's questions there.
Sure.
He threw 4 interceptions in a game against the Rams 2 weeks ago. Like, you know, these teams, 46% of their offensive yards come from Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Now, he's incredible, but that's pretty dependent on one player in order to move the ball. So, you know, in the AFC right now, the 1 seed is Drake May, 0 playoff wins. The 2 seed is Bo Nix, 0 playoff wins. The 3 seed is Indianapolis, Daniel Jones, 1 playoff win. Like it's a wide open year in the NFL. So I don't count the Bears out against anybody.
One of your colleagues, I guess you could say, from Fox Sports is Bucky Brooks. He has his, and you do some power rankings too, Danny, but he's got his power rankings out. He has the Bears at 6 right now, and I'll just read it really quickly. Rams 1, Patriots 2, Denver 3, Seahawks 4, Eagles 5, Bears are 6, Colts 7, Packers 8, Detroit 9, and Buffalo 10. You like that? You like the Bears at 6 in that group?
No.
Thank you, Danny, for having common sense. I appreciate it.
Say more.
No, I don't love that. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Tell me why, though. Why are you not a huge fan of that?
Well, I mean, listen, the Bears still have a negative point differential this year, right? Like they play a lot. They played the easiest or second easiest, depending on how you break it down, schedule in the NFL. They had five starters out on defense, and then two more got injured during the game. Like, if you weren't playing Pittsburgh, listen, I thought it was impressive that they held the Steelers to only 7 points in the second half. But like, let's put it this way: if the Bears would have been playing the Lions on Sunday, I think the Lions might have been able to score 70 points against them. You know, like, so I don't love that from, but because the problem with those power rankings is they're a little too much like the standings for me. Like, the teams with the best records are at the top of your power rankings. Like, well, then it's just, it may as well just be the standings. So I don't love that.
Personally. Have you done power rankings yet? Are you doing some?
I come out today. It's Top 10 Tuesday.
Ooh. Okay, I won't ask you for your full power rankings. I just need to know, because we asked you this the last time. Are the Bears finally cracking the top 10?
Ooh, yeah, that's a fair question. Danny, answer it.
Yeah, they came in at 11 today.
Are you serious?
Not the top others receiving votes.
Yeah. I'm serious. They're not in my top 10.
And you know what? That sounds appropriate, Danny. That sounds appropriate. Before I even look at your top 10, I already know the 10 teams you have above them have been better than them.
Grody, you think that's disrespectful?
A little bit.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah,
we're parsing here.
Well, okay,
how much am I supposed to drop the Colts for losing to the Chiefs?
I want to answer this for you and for Marshall, because Marshall here is looking at me like, yeah, what do you think about that, Grody? This guy just told me that the Buffalo Bills basically suck right now, and they're number 10. You don't think the Bears could squeak in over the Buffalo Bills at number 10 right now?
And the reason why is simple.
If you want to do it record-wise, so, this is what's right now.
No. And Danny's right, because it does look too much like the standings. And here's why that's bad. Because this is not college football, but these power rankings are the closest we get to what college football is like, where you're comparing wins and losses. And when I look at the Buffalo Bills, you could say, yeah, they haven't been great, but they did beat the Buccaneers. They did beat the Chiefs. They did beat the Ravens. Like, they've beaten good teams.
Isn't power rankings, can't part of the formula be who's hot, who's not? Because that's sure. The way it works. The Bears are hot right now. They've won four in a row. So if they're going to appear in the top 10 at some point in time, this would be the time.
No, next week would be the time after you beat the Eagles in Philadelphia.
Well, then they'll be number 4, I think, by then. They'll supplant the Seahawks.
They'll make a big jump if they win at Philadelphia. No,
they'll be in everybody's ranking if they beat Philly. Just like I kept Denver out of mine until they beat the Chiefs, because I wasn't impressed with Denver's win over the Raiders or the Jets or teams like that. And then Denver beat the Chiefs in pretty impressive fashion, and they jumped all the way up. I think they debuted at number 6 or number 7, something like that. And here's the thing. Power rankings are a stupid enterprise for clicks to fill content in the middle of the
it's
week.
It's working.
Totally, because we can define them however we want.
Yeah, exactly. There is no set rule. They don't mean anything. It is just conversational fodder for nonsense. And it's what we do.
We're a nonsensical trio.
Yeah, exactly. But and by the way, like... Yeah. So I think Buffalo is better than the Bears, and I think Buffalo deserves a benefit of the doubt because of their last 6 years of professional football that the Bears don't get. But if the Bears were playing the Bills on Sunday, like, of course they could win. You know what I mean? I think what the Bears, like, to be positive about the Bears, just to be how I honestly feel about them, is that they are a very well coached team that clearly believes in themselves, that is clearly getting better. And I think everything Ben Johnson has said so far about this team has come true. Like he said they're going to be playing their best football at the end of the season. I don't know, Grody, and you can maybe give me better insight of this, just like Kyler Gordon, Jalen Johnson, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds. Like, how many of those guys do you think are going to be back before the end of the year? 4 for 4?
Well, I think the TJ Edwards thing is mysterious. It's possible. I mean, we're already talking about the possibility. It's a real possibility that Kyler and Jalen are back for this game. TJ Edwards, I just don't have a good feel for that guy, Danny, because
okay.
it
but
feels
Edmonds?
Like, Edmonds, yeah, I think
IR, he's got to miss three more games.
I think he'll be back towards the end of the season. Yeah, I do think Tremaine Edmonds will return. The only one I'm not sure about in terms of, even if he does return, TJ Edwards, I just feel like this might be one of those weird, he might get injured again.
Soft tissue injury, the hamstring.
Yeah.
Fine. So, but like separate question.
Yeah.
Rank the top five players on the Bears defense if everybody was healthy.
If everyone's healthy.
Oh, man. All right. So let's do this.
Jalen?
Number one right now is Montez Sweat.
Fine. All right. Montez Sweat. Two, Jalen?
Yeah. Jalen Johnson, number two. Three,
Kyler. Then
four. Wait, with Kyler and I would go Edmonds three this year. Four.
Edmonds, Kyler.
So Edmonds over Edwards. I wouldn't do that. I'd say Edwards over Edmonds.
I would right now. Okay. Yeah, I would. I would. And then I guess TJ Edwards at five for me anyway.
Okay. But so I guess that my point is that you're saying that three of the top four players on the Bears defense are still coming back.
Yeah.
That is massive, man. Like that is a massive thing to like when paired with a very good offensive line / rushing team / clutch quarterback / playmaker / excellent play caller head coach.
Ooh.
Like Loveland is getting better. Caleb is getting better. Like Burden is getting better. Like they can beat the Packers. They can beat the Lions.
Yeah.
They can beat the Niners. Like they can beat these teams that are on their schedule the rest of the way. And it's very plausible to say that the best defense the Bears will play hasn't happened yet.
Well, that said, Danny, will the Bears appear, let's say 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, do you believe you will be putting the Bears in your top five power rankings?
I don't know. Like, I don't know about top five. I really don't. But like, that's tough, man. But like, I think they're going to the playoffs, and I think they're going to win double digit games. And I think they got it right at coach, and I think they got it right at quarterback. And I think they can be in a position where they're the team that nobody wants to play if they get the right guys back on defense that are healthy. And for year one of the Ben Johnson Caleb Williams marriage, like, isn't that enough? Like, do I have to say that they're better than the Super Bowl champs in week 12? Like, that just doesn't feel as significant to me. Like,
absolutely not.
I think this season so far to this point is an A+. Like, I think it's an A+.
Relative to what we thought. Yeah. Yeah.
They've won 8 of 9.
Yeah.
They've won 8 of 9. I think it's an A+. So, like, I honestly have not been listening much to the station, and I apologize.
Whatever,
like,
dude.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I it's not a knock. It's just, like, the time of my day. But, like, I honestly don't know. Like, what percentage of Bears conversation is positive versus negative right now, would you guys say?
We've had a lot of positive conversations.
The positive is starting to really creep in.
Yeah.
Starting.
You know why, Danny?
It should be 95.5 positive to negative.
Well, now it is. But, Danny, come on. Don't be naive. I mean, we've seen good regular season Bears teams that don't take. We've seen good starts to regular seasons that don't take. So I think that a little bit of cynicism, a little skepticism is allowed in the positivity or negativity when it comes to Bears fans or us here at the Score, the station you don't listen to.
I love the Score. It's not a shot. The score will always be home unless I get blacklisted for what we're about to talk about.
Let's get to the part that you're about to talk about, because that's we're up against it. So
unless you had a fight, were you trying to finish out that thought there, Danny?
I'm on your guys' time.
That's right.
Just give him the treat.
You're damn right. By the way, really quick, Robbie, do me a favor, and by the end of the show, would you do me a power rankings, please? Write that down. Thank you very much. Speaking of this guy, as you know, Danny Parkins hosted afternoons here on the Score for years. He was actually middays when he first came here. Danny now is on FS1, the newly expanded First Things First from 4 to 5 p.m. That is the show that he hosts on the daily, which you should watch. As everybody knows that listens to the show, Robbie Triano is one of our fine producers for this show. And Robbie has been pilfered by Danny Parkins and his little FS1 show in Manhattan, New York City, New York. Danny, what do you have to say for yourself and the person that you are taking from the radio station from which you used to work?
I mean, if I could have taken Tanny, I would have.
That's fair.
But Tanny, you know, Tanny wasn't willing to move. No, Robbie is...
Well played.
Robbie's excellent. And
he's no Tanny.
No, well, listen, Tanny's a superstar. Yeah,
I know that. I'm not Tanny. I know. Yeah,
you don't even barbecue like Tanny. Get out of here.
That chicken
I'm just
great.
I'm just kidding. But seriously. No, Robbie impressed me from the first time I worked with them at the Score. I think he, you know, has EP qualities there. And I think, you know, a hardworking person who cares and is willing to go above and beyond and doesn't care about credit is like a really valuable thing. And when we expanded this show, there was a call out that they were going to be hiring producers for this hour, because right now a lot of the people that are working on my hour also work on the first 2 hours of First Things First. And so as the show has expanded and been successful, they made a few postings, and Robbie applied, and I asked my boss to take a look at him. But then I said to my boss, frankly, I was like, don't hire him if he's not qualified, because this is my one shot at national TV. So I'm not looking for any favors here. But he did the interview, and then I think he interviewed with four people total.
Yeah, correct. Four people.
Yeah, and Robbie crushed it. I kept getting, hey, Robbie's advancing to the next stage of the interview. And I was like, great, don't tell me anything about it. And so I didn't hear about anything for like at least 6 weeks, other than he kept advancing on. And he crushed it. Everyone's real excited for him to get out here to New York. Robbie did great work with me on the Radiothon the last 2 years, and so I'm excited to work with him again. He's the goods.
I agree with all that, man.
Danny, that was incredibly nice. Thank you. And I know I'm not Tanny. Tanny's the absolute man. But I honestly can't wait to join you out there. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, man. It's a fun show. It's a show with radio sensibilities.
Yeah.
We do bits and we do little pranks, and we've got a, you know, they rent me a throne for my picks, and they bring out trumpeteers.
We've seen
and
the photos, man. Looks good.
You guys talk Josh Giddey though.
I've seen
you guys,
the videos.
Talk Josh Giddey at all?
We don't talk Josh, but hey, if the Bulls are still in playoff contention come NBA season, that could be a guest that you book, Robbie. All things are possible. But no, I'm really excited that it was able to happen, and it's going to be fun to have another. I can't really say Chicagoan, but you know, another person from the Score out here, and it's gonna be a blast. This is just like the Score. It's a great place to work. I'm very happy here. And I know Robbie's going to fit in and do great things.
Danny, you're the goods, man. Keep up the great work. I'm glad that the success is high from 4 to 5 on FS1. Check Danny Parkins out. He is our guy. He is always our guy. Danny, looking forward to seeing those power rankings come out. One of these days, we'll see the Bears in the top 10, okay?
Also, you can listen to the Score on the Odyssey app.
Grody. You're like Danny. There should be cynicism. There's going to be negativity. But why don't you have them in the top five of your power?
I'm allowed to contradict myself, Danny. I am sitting in the power chair today, so if I want to contradict myself, I can.
Okay. All right. Danny, be a homer, but we're allowed to be negative. You can't say that about our pledges.
Danny,
only we can say that.
Exactly. Danny, you're not here anymore. You don't know what we go through here. So I will handle it my way. Parco, you're the best. We're in a lot of trouble for being late. You understand that. So you have to go now. Goodbye.
Robbie, get them on the clock, man.
Oh, God, this is a bad sign.
Bye, Danny. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible.
If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At forward, number 5, he still lives with his mother, Carlos Boozer.
Mic check, 1-2-1-2. Mic check, 1-2-1-2.
Bounce to Boozer, through some traffic, scoops and
get
scores.
On the Booze Cruise.
Dream it, believe it, do it. Let's go. Already know I cross them over, take them to the hole.
Drive, Boozer. In your face, big baby.
Might go baseline one time and abuse ya. Run back down the court like you know it was Boozer.
Boozer spins by Wilcox. And one. And one.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Put him in the spin cycle.
There's Booze.
Oh, stop it. Don't show it all to him, Booze.
Starting his power forward.
Mike
check, 1-2. Carlos. Mike check, 1-2-1-2.
Boozer.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Whoa, what a blast we get to talk to Carlos Boozer. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Obviously, Duke is going to play Arkansas. 7 o'clock on the United Center floor on Thursday, on Thanksgiving night. So there's plenty of time to fill up on turkey and then get out to the arena. And Carlos has his twins playing for Duke. Carlos, good morning. How are you?
Guys, thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm so excited. Coming to Chicago tomorrow. I want all the Duke fans to fill up the United Center, man. Fill up the Madhouse and let's have a good time.
What will that feel like watching your sons play on the court where you played so well for a long time, Carlos, and you're seeing now your twins out there? I'm sure they were around here when you were playing in Chicago. Just how would you describe the pride you're going to feel?
Man, I get chills, man. Like just seeing them in that Duke uniform playing there, 25 years ago. When I see him in Chicago, I love Chicago. We had such a good team, and we wish we would have got the city a championship. We had, Joakim Noah and Luol Deng and Taj Gibson and Nate Robinson and our MVP, Derrick Rose. And we felt like we had everything we needed to get it done, and we fell short. So I can't wait for the boys to play in Chicago. They definitely been there a bunch of times when they were younger, when I was playing for the Bulls. And it's going to feel surreal to see them on that floor.
Carlos, I mean, it's such a transition for you from being kind of a star player to a proud father. I mean, we all have kids and we all have been through that kind of thing, not to the level that your guys are already at. I'm just curious, it's obvious you have the Duke connection, but were they always a tandem? Were they always going to go to college together? Was the recruiting process now with NIL and everything else, was John Shire taking over that job, doing a great job following one of the greatest coaches ever in Coach K, and also John Shire, a Chicago guy, made good, as was Coach K. What was it like for you going through the process with your boys?
Yeah, great question. First of all, as my kids continued to develop and got better in high school and were very successful in high school, in their recruitment process, I told them, go through your recruitment process, for you. Because the situation that may be meant for one of you guys may not be meant for both of you guys. But they wanted to play together. They talked it out. They had multiple conversations about their recruiting process. They were getting recruited by all the same schools anyway. And again, I didn't push Duke on them. I let them, you know, Coach K wasn't there. That was my coach 25 years ago. It was the right place for me. They needed time to get to know, you know, the coaching staff and Coach Shire's staff and get a chance to fill them out and vibe with them. And they chose Duke all on their own. You know, it wasn't like I forced them to go there. And I was, so for me, I was like over the moon excited because I really wanted that for them, but I didn't want to be the dad that was like forcing my kids to go to a school. And then they're the ones that got to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And they're the ones that got to go work out. They're the ones that got to be up till 2 o'clock in the morning for late papers. And they resent me for it. So I kind of sat out of the recruiting process and let them figure it out for themselves so they could be proud of their own moment as they're writing their own legacy, right? And when they chose Duke, I had the biggest smile from ear to ear. You guys know how big my face is. So I was super, super excited. But, yeah, I'll say this, man. I think ultimately, as a dad, and you guys are probably parents as well, you want your kids to be happy, to be excited, to be enthusiastic about whatever they step into. And so these kids going through the process together. They wanted to play together. They did not want to play away from each other. They have so much success together. And then obviously going to college, most of us are on our own. You know, you're finding your new tribe, so to speak, on campus. And no matter what they find, if they have a good day or a bad day, at least they have their best friend and their brother to talk to about it with. So they're excited to go through the college experience together. And they love being on Duke's campus.
I'm sure they seek your wisdom and counsel. You're their dad, but I wonder when you talk to them about college basketball and your experience at Duke and theirs, very different times, and you're not that old, yeah. And things have changed dramatically even in the last 5 to 10 years, Carlos. So I wonder, how do those conversations go, and how different from your vantage point is their experience?
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, NIL has changed the game. I think college kids are more apt to stay in college if they're not going to be a NBA pick. They can stay in college and probably make more in college than they would going overseas or being in the G League. And so you're seeing college sports older, right? You're seeing more 24, 25-year-old college kids. And when I was in school, we were older too because we stayed, right? I stayed 3 years. Some of my teammates stayed for 4 years, and we would be like 21 or 22, but we weren't getting paid to be there. Nowadays, you have a COVID year, you have a redshirt year, you can switch schools as much as you like. The kids are staying in school as long as they want to, which makes it very interesting and hard to like follow one guy because they may bounce around a couple of times. But for my boys in particular, they love college sports. It wasn't about the NIL money. They wanted to have a legacy, have a chance to win a championship. Again, they've won 4 state championships, a national championship, 2 gold medals. They're McDonald's All-Americans. They've accomplished a lot in high school. They wanted a chance to win in college. And the way that Shire, who's done a phenomenal job, you mentioned this earlier, a phenomenal job taking over for the GOAT and Coach K, also a Chicago legend. But, you know, they want a chance to win a championship, and they knew Shire was going to put a team around them or make them a part of a team that would have a chance to compete for a championship and get to the Final Four like they were last year. And hopefully this year's team can get over the hump.
That's wild. I mean, I can't imagine. I wish I had a twin. I would hope I had an evil twin who could get somebody. But I think it's so cool that they are twins playing together. Is this the last level where that happens? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you negotiate that? Just with the two of them.
Yeah, that's the question, and that's why, you know, for us and their, you know, it takes a tribe, you know, it takes a village to raise kids, but all of us are trying to take in every game and be at every game because it could be the last time they play together. You don't know what's going to happen, you know, 4 or 5 months from now or this coming June, and you know, don't know what's going to happen at the next level in the NBA if they're on the same team or not. So we're all trying to scramble and get to every game and get tickets set aside so we can all enjoy them together. Because it potentially could be the last time the Twins play together. So we don't want to take it for granted. You know,
we have to ask you about the Bulls because you will be in familiar territory, as we mentioned, and they are a team that started 5-0, Carlos, and then things started to get a little bit tricky. They don't play really good defense in the paint, so if you're contemplating a comeback, I think they'd be open because they need some big bodies. They need some help. What do you think about when you watch the Bulls?
No, I think the first thing that comes to my mind when I watch Chicago is the progression of Giddey. Listen, I know you guys probably talk about him a lot. I did not see this coming. When we got him from OKC, I knew he was a good player. I'm just really impressed with him. He's able to score. He's able to assist. He rebounds. He plays solid defense. He gets his teammates involved. I've been really impressed in watching his development. I think some of the other guys, like, I do like the Bouzillis kid. I think he's got a ton of talent. I think he's young. You're right. He's young. And all of us were young at some point. God, I miss being young. I think he's one of those guys that a year or two from now is going to be a stud. Like, he's got so much talent. He's tall. He can do similar things. Like, he can pass, dribble, shoot, attack the basket. He can make plays for his teammates. He hits his free throws. Like, he's going to be a really good player. But he's also young, so he needs a little bit of time to develop. It's good to have Coby White back. You know, Coby White busted on the scene a year or two ago when LaVine got hurt and he kind of took over the scoring role and being one of those top guys on our roster. Now that he's back, I think he's only been back for 5 games, maybe a little bit less than that. But he's played well coming back off an injury. So, I mean, you know, and obviously the big guys, you want the big guys to be dominant, to be aggressive, to command respect in the paint offensively and defensively. And that's going to come, but you know, not having Vucevic out there and some other guys. I think Pat Williams has been kind of a slow development. But for the most part, I'm really impressed with Giddey. I love that Coby White is back. And I think the – if I'm saying his name wrong, I apologize. But I think the Bouzillis kid has a ton of potential to be really good.
Carlos, you know, let's talk about your sons for another second. I think it's pretty extraordinary just for a guy like me to see someone like Cam – 6'9" power forward, and you say, oh, I get it. That's Carlos's son. He could teach a 6'9" power forward a lot. How do you teach Caden a 6'4" point guard? Did you have to get someone in to help you?
Yeah, definitely. He position. He's got great trainers, man. We got some great trainers down in Miami that have been doing a great job. And where he's at now, think about the guards that have come through the Duke program.
Right.
You know, like one of his uncles, Jay Williams, is one of my teammates, obviously, when I was at Duke. But he was also a former Chicago Bull and number two pick in the draft. But Jay was one of the most explosive guards in college. And so he's always tapping in with Caden, watching some film of him and giving him some advice. But then think about who's also there. It's Coach K, right? So I connected my boys with Coach K so they could have a direct relationship with the GOAT himself. And Coach K can teach them and tell them, because he's coached Kyrie Irving and Jay Williams and Bobby Hurley and the Jones brothers and Austin Rivers and all these great guards, Grayson Allen, and all these guys that came through our program that have been in the NBA and also have had success. So, you know, the great thing about being part of the brotherhood, which I'm sure you guys have heard about, is that we can tap into our network and be able to, you know, have Paolo come work out with Cam and then have Kyrie Irving work out with Caden and have Coach K overlook and make sure that they're on the right path and telling them what he sees, because he may see something because he's seen so many great players and coached so many great players that I may not see as a dad. Maybe I'm too close to it. So me and Mom tried to do is surround the boys with people that can help them now. Like, even when they're in Miami, they're working out with Bam Adebayo and Marvin Bagley Jr. And they're working out with, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. and Tyler Hero and guards that are currently playing. Emmanuel Quigley works out with Caden all the time. They're working out with pros in the summertime to get them ready for whatever season is coming up, and obviously that helped them get ready for their freshman year at Duke.
What do you like about coming back to Chicago when you're able to? Do you keep in touch with Derrick Rose, whose son is starting to make a name for himself on the basketball court in the city? And just wonder how much you're looking forward to doing that this weekend.
Man, everything. I love Chicago. Me, D. Rose, Joaquin, Taj, like Luau, we're all super close. Nate Robb, like Kirk Heinrich, all of our entire team from that 2010 to 2015 era, we're all very, very close. Obviously, we're all coming back to see D. Rose put his jersey up in the rafters, and rightfully so. Super excited for that. Just everything about Chicago, from deep dish pizza to going out to on Wabash. I know it's going to be a little colder. Got to throw on some layers. But it's just one of the best cities and it's probably one of the hidden gems. I think a lot of people that have been to Chicago wish they could live in Chicago. And for us to get the chance to come back and enjoy it, we really relish in the opportunity, man. And oh, and in the summers, come on, man. Tell me Chicago doesn't have the best summers, guys. Come on, man.
Carlos, congratulations on your kids' success, on your everything that you've done. It's so cool to see that happen, to see the kids go to Duke. And obviously, Thanksgiving night at the United Center is going to be a ton of fun. Thanks so much for jumping on with us.
Enjoy yourself. Appreciate it. Great talking to you.
Man, thanks for having me, guys. I can't wait to see all the Blue Devils in Chicago in the building Thursday night, baby.
That is Carlos Boozer. I'll tell you what, you know, John Shire should bring a crew, right?
John Shire, yeah, he should.
He knows enough people.
It's going to be a very familiar audience for John Shire, Chris Collins as well, because you've got Northwestern, Oklahoma State after Duke, Arkansas tickets are good for both games. You can get them at Ticketmaster.com, still on sale. And that's a nice little Thanksgiving night treat.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Bring home a winter wonderland. Shop Lowe's limited-time doorbuster deals during Black Friday to save big on holiday staples. Show your cheer with select 2-quart poinsettias for $6 and shine and shimmer with 100-count holiday living incandescent string lights, now 4 for $10. Then get a fresh-cut Christmas tree, now 25% off. Your holiday list lives at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offers valid through 12-1. Poinsettias and fresh-cut trees in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.